Did you realize? I didn't until this week. Did you realize you're drinking the water Adam drank? Same water. Yeah. All kinds of things rush through your mind. Drinking the same water the dinosaur drank. Yeah. Yes. Drinking the same water Jesus drank. It hasn't changed. It's amazing when you start thinking of God's incredible way that He has created this earth and how it, this purification system and this recycling system is a wonderful thing. I also really appreciate the way that our lessons are focusing on our health message, but especially upon, for me, upon our body and the way He created us and the things that are happening is driving me more and more, not only to the Word, to understand some things I hadn't understood before, but also to the scientific discoveries that are going on. Just amazing. And each new discovery that we're making at this level is bringing people more and more to the edge. There has to be a power beyond us that is an intelligent design. We can't get around it. And the deeper we go into that knowledge, the more and more we're faced with that. And so I want to share with you a little bit today about some of that, the insights that we have. A lot of things I didn't know about water at all. Let me run just a few statistics past you. 97% of all the water we have is undrinkable. It's in the ocean. 2% then... So this makes 99% of all the water. 2% of the water is in the form where we can't drink it because it's in ice caps, ice flows, and underneath the earth. What was it? 0.03% of all the water in the earth is all that we're using for human consumption. And the vast majority of that, 80% of that, is used in raising crops. So what does that leave us with? Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing when you start looking at that. And we find out that half of the hospital beds in the entire world are full of people who are sick because of water-related disease. 50%, and most of that is because of sanitation problems and not having available clear water. And what was it? We said that in undeveloped worlds that there are places where women spend up to, what is it? 3 hours a day walking just to get water, and that usually from a polluted source. And it talked about all the bacteria and stuff that they have because of all of that. And so when we look at the condition, it's sort of scary in a way. And you keep hearing, don't waste water, don't waste water. Well, wait a minute. This is a renewable source, but what are they talking about? One of the things that's happening is we're polluting that 0.0. I don't even know what it would be now, since 80% of that 0.03 is consumed by just irrigation. And so how much do we actually have available to us? And when we look at the way that the water is, the magic that there is in the water. I have a book that I'd like to recommend to you. I mentioned this like a year, year and a half ago, but I'd like to mention it again. The book, there are two of them out, The Hidden Messages in Water. Has anyone read this? Listen, it'll be one of the greatest expenses of your time, spending of your time that you have spent. Anyone even heard about this? Yeah, I know, we read it. Oh, you're just scratching your ear. You've got to read this book, The Hidden Messages in Water. And it's by Masaru Emoto, a little Japanese gentleman who has spent something like 30 years investigating the effects of water. And what started him out was he read one time when he was a young man, there are no two snowflakes alike. How many of you have heard that? No two snowflakes alike. Well, we listen to that and say, boy, that's interesting. Not him. He went outside where it was snowing, grabbed the snowflakes, and started his discovery. The things that he has discovered are absolutely miraculous. And so he found a way, he said, you know, I can't go out here and just collect snowflakes. Hi, Blaine. Good to see you. By the way, we're working on some software that hopefully we'll be able to have for your iPhone, if you have that. It's an app that we're working on, The Names of God, where you can get an app and go in there and get the definitions of the name, and also you can even click on a place and either Ernie or I pop up and start preaching a sermon. I mean, we're... Blaine is the one who's the author of that, working on that. In the middle of his busy practice, he runs back to his office and does a few more steps on it. But he's done an incredible work on all of that, and that's what we're working toward, is getting that on the iPhones and getting it in some other hands. The messages, the hidden messages in water. Well, what he discovered was a way of examining these and doing his experiments. So he found that if he took water down to freeze it, that he has it at a certain level. He gets it down to that level, and he takes these crystals that are formed, and then he puts them under the microscope, looks at them, and then photographs them. And what he found out just sent him on a discovery mission for the rest of his life. Not only the beauty of the crystals, but there was a Frenchman who said, water will keep memories. There's the memory of water. I didn't understand this. It comes from a homeopathic doctor in France who said that he could dilute water down that had a certain medicine or a certain property to it, dilute it down where there's no possibility that there'd be anything left of that in there, and then drink the water, and the water still is going to perform whatever it was in there. Well, they've done a lot of investigation and double-blind studies and so on, and say, we think he's full of baloney. Read that book, and you will be absolutely amazed. So what he does is he freezes the water, gets those crystals, looks at them under a microscope, and looks at these beautiful crystals. And then he saw some dramatic differences. And it led him to some things that you will just, it'll cause the strength to go out of you when you see what he has discovered. Water exposed to certain elements will change the formation of the crystals. He found out that if he exposed water, that if he exposed water to certain music, and every time he exposed the water, the same water, to certain music, the most incredible thing happened. He exposed it to Beethoven. He exposed it to Mozart. And then froze the water. And then he found the most incredible, beautiful crystals that came out of that. He thought, I wonder if this is just a fluke. So he took the same water and exposed it to hard rock. Not one crystal formed. He said, I wonder how far this goes. So he said, what about the words that we speak? Now, if any of you remember, about a year ago, my wife and I did an experiment that we had to call off. The experiment that he had was that he spoke words to this water, froze it, and looked at the crystals. He took two kinds of words, positive and negative. And he found out that the positive words on the same water formed these incredible, beautiful, symmetrical crystals. Then he took that identical same water and exposed it to these negative words. And if a crystal formed, it was always deformed. It would never shape into a crystal, into a beautiful crystal. Well, now all of these have been put through double-blind studies by research, and they found out the same thing. Then he wrote the words and put them on bottles of water, froze them, took the crystals. It didn't matter if you spoke it, if you wrote it. The same thing happened. This is with water. The reason behind me saying, speak those compliments to those children, now we can watch the physiological effect on the brain, on the physiology, by watching what happens when someone speaks positive words to someone and when you speak negative words to someone. We can now watch it work. It is phenomenal to see what's going on. When I got through this, I've read it I don't know how many times. Every time you go through there, it just takes your breath away when you see what has happened. This man just wrote his research down on some paper and shared it with some friends, and it ended up on the New York Times bestseller list and stays up there at the top because people just can't get enough of this little book. And what you'll really like about it is it's probably about half pictures. And it's just amazing to see what he has found. Let me show you just, I'm not going to pass it around because I know I won't get it back. Let me show you something. Guess what that crystal will do? I want to show you words that he exposed. Yes. Here are the words on this side to the words love and gratitude over on this side and on this side of the page. Just beautiful, beautiful crystals. Now, on the other page is the same water exposed to the word Satan. Same water. Ugly. It's horrible. He didn't do anything else to it. He just repeated it over and over and over, and it'll happen every time. Something really magical about all of that. And when we look at the effect of water, we really have no idea what we're talking about. By the way, I'm going to give you some more reading to do, Jeff. An amazing book, Louis Cozzolino, The Healthy Aging Brain. This is where the research is given on shaping the brain, how the words actually go in and what they do to our brain. It's amazing. I'll be quoting some things out of here in just a little bit. Let me run a couple things past you on water. Look up on the computer, just water, and you'll have an amazing time going through there, seeing all the things that are available on water. Mine I got off of Wikipedia, and yeah, it's so funny. I was studying this, and I hit the print button. Well, we got one of those wireless printers, and when we hit it, it started rolling. And so I didn't realize that the article was this long, but it just kept on printing. I thought, man alive, what's going on? So I just sort of dismissed it. Then I got up, and I went to the printer to get it. Well, I didn't know it. The same moment that I hit print on water, she was in bed and couldn't sleep and was studying water. She hit the print button, and when mine printed right after that, hers printed. And so that's why the printer was taking such a long time, and she got up and says, I got some wonderful news for you. Did you see the printer? And I said, yeah, so what? Because I thought I had done it. She had done it. So here's some of the things. Here's on the resource, just all kinds of things that you can get on water. But let me share with you some of these other quotes we got here from that. All about water. Roughly 70% of an adult's body is made up of water. Now, they said that in the womb, the child is made up of 90%. Middle age, about 70. When you get to 50, you're about 50%. That's why you wrinkle up and look so bad. Yeah. At birth, hold on just a second. A healthy person can drink about 3 gallons of water per day, and you also can get water intoxication. That's where you dilute the salt. Pardon? Oh, yeah. Not only last year, they die quite often, where people will over-intoxicate on water. The daily amount is 8 cups per day, but you got to realize liquid comes in all kinds of forms. Vegetables are largely water, and so on. Soft drinks, water, soft drinks, coffee, and tea are made up of water, but those carrying caffeine will actually act as a mild diuretic, preventing water from traveling to necessary locations in the body. Pure water, let's see, wait a minute. Oh, you've got to remember this. This is going to come back. I'm going to use this a great deal. Water dissolves most substances. It is one of the greatest agents there is in dissolving things, okay? Keep that in the back of your mind. I'm going to use that in just a minute. Somewhere between 70 to 75% of the Earth's surface is covered with water. Much more fresh water is stored underground than on the surface. And the Earth is a closed system. It just keeps recycling. And the real danger we have is polluting our water. In the United States, nearly 80% of its water is used for irrigation. Now, you got to hear this. Okay, 75% of the human brain is water. 75% of a living tree is water. A person can live about a month without food, maybe a week without water. The average total home use for each person in the U.S. is about 50 gallons. I saw another one that said about an 80 to 100 gallons. And then the average cost per home is about 5 gallons for a penny for processing the water and preparing it for us to drink. Listen to this. Every year, 3.575 million people die from water-related diseases. 43% of water-related deaths due to diarrhea, and 84% of those are children 0 to 14. 98% of the water-related deaths occur in the developing worlds, and the water sanitation is the biggest crisis there. At any given time, half of the world's hospital beds are occupied by patients suffering from water-related diseases. And an American taking a five-minute shower uses more water than the typical person living in a developing country slum uses in a whole day. About a third of the people without access to an improved water source live on less than $1 a day. Let's see. Oh, here's where it talked about the women and how they're so busy trying to get water. Now, let's carry this just a little bit further. When Jesus says, "I am the water of life," we thought it was all just an analogy. But I want you to read a few passages connected with him talking about he is the water of life. He called the living water. And we're going to look at a few of these and try to draw a conclusion about what did he have in mind. Now, I know that people before this age did not have the insights that we do now about what this means. They had no idea about how a word, what it does when it goes into our brain and the kind of impact that that has on the human body. So let's look at a few passages. I would like for you to turn to Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Would someone turn there and read that? I've got several. Who will take that one? Read that one. You got it? Okay, hold on a second. What is the version you have? Okay. Check it out to make sure she's reading it right. John 7 and 30, I think it's 35 through 38, 38 especially. Someone have that one? Thank you very much. And then if someone would turn to Psalm 42, get your hands up quickly so we can do it. Trent, and then if you would take Psalm 63, 1. Yours, Trent, is 42, verse 1. And then Matthew 5, 6. Someone got that one over here? Okay. Matthew 5, verse 6. Jeremiah 2, 13. Real quick, I don't want to waste all my time. Thank you. John 4, 14. Someone got that one. I keep looking over here. Everyone's got a broken arm, except the front row. 4, 14. John 4, 14. And then Revelation 7, 17. Over here, real quick. They're so embarrassed. Thank you. And then Revelation 21, 6. Someone have that one, okay? I think that will... Oh, yeah. This is one of the key ones. Who wants to read one of the most important ones here? Ephesians 5 and verse 26. Well, thank you very much. And then Hebrews 10:22. Who will read that one, please? No one even looks up when I ask. Who's got it? Okay. All right. Let's look at these. Let me refer just a little bit where he says that I am the living water. It's very interesting how in the sanctuary service, when he set up that service in the courtyard before they could ever enter into the sanctuary, what did they have out front? They had this big, they called it a laver, a brass laver, that they had to fill it full of fresh water every day. They could never go into the temple without washing their hands and washing their feet. Well, that means they already had a bath that morning. Every day they had to do that. And then when they were walking around in the sanctuary, in the courtyard, before they could ever go into the sanctuary, they had to wash their hands and they had to wash their feet. Now, wait until we see what all of that is implying. Let's look first at I'm just going to give you the gist of this one. I didn't hand it out to you. It says in Ezekiel 47 in verses 1 through 11, I didn't want to read that whole amount. It describes Ezekiel visiting the temple and said, there's water flowing out from the temple, and at the door is about ankle deep. And as we walked out, it got to my knees, and as it got out, it got to my waist, and then it got over my head. And he was talking about that water of blessing that flows from God, where he says, I am that spring of living water, and how it goes out and refreshes the earth. So look at Jeremiah 2:13. Who has that one? I'm sure I gave it out. Yes. Okay, so they've done two things wrong. They've neglected me, and they've hewed out their own cisterns that are broken, won't even hold water. And then Jeremiah, did I give you 17? I don't think I gave you that one. John 4:14. Okay. Okay. And would you read the next verse?
The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw.
Okay. Now, we'll come back to that. Revelation 7:17. Okay. Okay, now this is a promise about what will happen in the kingdom. Revelation 21, did I give that one? Yes. Okay, so we keep thinking that this is just water that we're drinking, what God is talking about. Wait just a minute. We're going to see what it's talking about here. Let's see. Psalm 42 and verse 1. Oh, sure, please. Okay. When I first became a Christian, that's one of the first ones that I memorized. And it was, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so pants my soul after you. And when shall I come and appear before him? What got me was how he touched me and what happened to me inside. And I read that psalm and I said, oh man, that's exactly how I feel, what he has done. And then Psalm 63, verse 1. Okay, and then Matthew 5, 6. Who has that one? Matthew
5.
Okay, they shall be satisfied. Now, in Ephesians 5 and verse 26, listen carefully. Okay. What is the water? Washing of us through the water, which is what? His word. And what does it do? When it washes, there is no stain, no wrinkle, nothing inside. Remember when I was saying about the water will dilute everything? Well, about the time I got through running several of these things past Reba, we were going, ooh, ah, ooh, ah. And then she says, isn't that amazing how water dilutes things? And when that water comes into us, does that then mean that the Word of God, when it comes into us, that it also cleanses inside, that it purifies us, that it washes away every stain? And who does it? It's the water. It's the Word. It's God. It's His work inside of us. Now, Hebrews 10, verse 22. So what is this saying? The Word, the water is the Word. And what does the water do? It cleanses us inside. It purifies us. There's no stain. There's no wrinkle. It is God's work. And we are sprinkled and our sins are washed away. Now, hold on. I'm going to have, who has John 7 in a moment? 7:38. Who does? Okay. In just a moment, I want you to read that. Okay. They did an experiment one time. They took the pictures of people who had their 50th wedding anniversary. Copied them, cut them up, spread them around. Mixed them up. And then they took their initial wedding picture, copied them, cut them up, mixed them up. And then they had an independent group come in and put the two groups together. Who married who? Guess how many they got on the first group of their initial wedding picture? Zero. Zero. Every group that tried to put them together, zero. Guess how many they got together when they looked at the 50th wedding anniversary? 100%. Every time. And they ask them, well, how did you know they are together? This group is the same as this group. I don't know. We just know they look like brother and sister. Some of you ladies better hope that it goes your direction. that when that love, that relationship, those words come into our body, into our mind, it actually changes our very physiological features. Those look like brother and sister over there? When that word or that experience comes into my life, and I allow this one to walk around inside me, there are no secrets, there's nothing hidden. I love having her walk around in my brain, walking around in my heart. I love it. Because I hope that it goes her way. The change where I might come somewhere near close to that. Amazing. When two human beings come together, they even begin looking like each other. I would love to spend a whole hour showing you how this happens. We now know. By beholding me, you become changed. There is something to that when he says, I am the water of life. As I behold him, as I drink in his love, as I see what he's like, and it comes into this body, it says, never has it ever happened. But what when a man turns his eyes and looks to Christ, immediately a transformation is set in place. Hey, isn't that what happened when they're in the wilderness and they died? And it says, quick, make a serpent, put on a hole, and run among them. Look, and you'll live. When I dwell on the wonderful character of God, something begins to work a transformation in my life. Now, I don't have time, so I'm going to have to do it another time. I'm just going to give you a thumbnail sketch. They now know through fMRIs what happens to a human being when negative words are said to them, or when positive words are said to them, they now can watch it happen. When positive words are said, certain channels, certain parts of the brain are opened up and actually change. When negative words are said, we now can watch the brain work. And it actually causes the brain to die. Incredible. What happens to a little child who's raised in an environment where all they hear are scathing rebukes and words that put them down? What happens to it? Do you know what? They also discovered what causes the brain to last longer and longer and longer. They did this examination on a lady who was 122 years old. She says, the only wrinkle I have is the one I'm sitting on. They did some all kinds of examination. They wanted to see that lady brain when she got through. And they finally discovered what causes the human brain to last longer, to live healthier, to be vibrant. She says, I smoked for over 100 years. I accredit my longevity to olive oil and what was it? Not cigarettes, but olive oil, and I forget what the other. I'll tell you what it is. I'll find out what it is. She credits that, and they found out that the thing that causes the brain to last is relationships. The healthier the relationships, the healthier the brain is. That the brain just flourishes in an environment where there is love and there is exchange of love between two human beings, the brain stays alive and stays healthy. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't eat healthy. We used to think the only thing that caused the brain to last and to be in good health was vitamins and exercise. It's not hurting us, but the thing that causes you to grow is healthy relationships. And Jesus is saying, what I want is a relationship with you. I want to be your friend. I want to walk with you, talk with you. I want to be in everything that you do. And guess what happens? As we walk with Him, change occurs. And we grow more and more like Him. What an amazing miracle on the story of water. Father in heaven, You are beyond description. The more we know about You, the more You overwhelm us, the more that we love You. Oh, Father, please pass Your goodness before us. We know that You sit as one who is the subject of a painting. And as we behold You, that the reflection of Your character will be reproduced in us. That John 7:38 says, as You behold Me, and I am in You, a spring of living water will spring up inside you and flow out to everyone else. All of a sudden, Your words become our words. Your actions become our actions. And we reflect You. Thank You. Guide us today. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.